thank the Holy Spirit for what he's done, and we also thank Chaplain Seri for being led by the Holy Spirit to organize this chapel service. We know that some students are not here with us because of the call by the mayor to cancel classes for all the schools, but students in the campus are still continuing the classes. Just want to ask you a question. What have you been wrestling with lately? Maybe last night, or maybe last week, or earlier this week. What have you been wrestling with? I want to share with us about a few things that we can glean from the life of a wrestler in the Bible. And his name is Jacob. And I believe that most of us, or if not all of us, who are studying in the seminary already understand who Jacob is. We've read his story many times. A lot of you are Sunday school teachers, so you make lessons. Some of us preach, and we do preach about the life of Jacob. We know he's the son of Isaac. His grandfather is Abraham, and we know the story. And we call ourselves the children of Abraham as well. So it's a familiar story, and I will not really go into all the details. But one thing I found in the story of Jacob is that when he ran away, he became a very resourceful person. When he was with his mother, he was probably depending on his mother. But his mother got him into trouble, and then his mother had to find a way to send him away. So he ran away and went to live with Laban, his uncle. And you know, when relatives go to live with their family members, for a few days you are welcomed, you are treated very special. But as you live longer, what happens? You become a burden to the family. So Jacob lived with the family, with Laban for several weeks until it became 1 month, and his uncle said, "You've been living with us for some time now, and maybe you need to do some work. You ran away, but you have to face reality." Some of us, when we were kids, we sometimes didn't like our parents, or maybe we got into trouble and we ran away to live with our family members, our relatives, to avoid trouble. And we kind of hang around with our brothers and sisters, and we stayed there, but we don't really want to work. Jacob went there living with his uncle, but after a month, he realized that his uncle had to tell him to work. So he got to work, he worked. And when he worked, he acquired skills. He was not a hunter, but he learned to take care of the sheep. He learned the hard way. One thing that we should learn about Jacob is that he had the favor of God. He had the favor of God, but that doesn't mean the favor just falls from the sky and you don't do anything. Jacob had to work with his hands. One of the challenges with us is that we are being trained job skills, but we don't know life skills. That's why when you don't get a job, you feel handicapped. You cannot even support yourself. Even a degree holder becomes poor because they cannot do something for themselves. When we become so specialized in something, sometimes when there are many people, there's a surplus of you in the world, you become just another option. And that is when we need life skills in life. There is no guarantee that every seminary student will find a job. So we must talk about realities in life. Jacob had the favor of God. Brothers and sisters, you are favored by God. I am favored by God, but that does not mean because we are favored by God, life will be easy on us. Your relatives or your family members or your church members sometimes will get hard on you. They might chase you. Your church leader might chase you. And then you go out and you start grumbling. I have been favored by God. I have gotten this degree. You are not with me. Oh, brothers and sisters, life is hard. You can be an accountant. But if you don't have an accounting job, you should learn how to paint. You should learn how to make your hands dirty so that we can survive. The world is full of poor people. We don't need more poor seminarians. So Jacob had the favor of God, but he needed to use his brain. He needed to use his brain. And he had determination. I am favored by God, but I am determined to move on in life. I have been chased out of the environment where I call home. And he worked hard and became wealthy. In churches today, many people are good at praying in the church. We have prayer meetings. But many people don't like to work. Our churches in Asia have become churches where only depend on free handouts. But what if God takes the free handouts out of you? Are we willing to work and say that we have been favored by God, God has bestowed his blessing upon us, we are in a way the Jacobs, the children of Jacob, but we will work hard with whatever God has placed in our hands. Even if we are displaced, we will still work. We will still work, and we will work towards restoring the blessing that God has given us. Sometimes life experiences teach us hard lessons. Don't be afraid of the toughness of life experiences. Wisdom is gained through the life sufferings that we go through. Some of us will go through sufferings in the seminary. The first year I came here, I was so excited. I had all these hopes. Realized at the end of the year, I lost my son. I felt like going home. And then I prayed about it. I wrestled about it, and God said, if you go home, you will not achieve what you came here for. And it's been 5 years. God has been faithful. I believe you are wrestling with something tonight, I mean today. Maybe you feel like you are quitting because you have some financial challenges facing you. Maybe you have some academic challenges facing you. Maybe you failed your English exam several times. But unless a person falls into the water and stays in the water, he drowns. But if he gets up, there is still hope for survival. We are not yet done. We are not yet done. Life experiences will teach us hard lessons, but the way you see them is very important. Life is a good teacher when reflected upon. Jacob was a good strategist. He had very good strategy. He's been a strategist all his life. He always strategized how he could beat his brother. And when his brother came hungry, he told him, okay, give me what you have prepared. Give me your bed, right? And I will give you the soup that I have prepared. And then he devised a strategy that as time went by, he got the bed right. And he ran away. And he was a good strategist. He found his way into his uncle's home and got his two daughters. It's hard when you go live with your family member and all of a sudden you get everything that he has and you have his children. That's another story. One is enough, but if you get two, that's more than enough. I'm not encouraging us to do that. I believe we all make strategies when you go through some life. We plan about what we are going to do. Some of us are nearing our completion of our graduation or our classes, and we already have plans. We are good strategists because when we learn, we interact with things, it helps our mind to think. And I believe in some ways we've been planning on what to do. I don't know what strategies you have. I don't know what plans you have made. But let me remind you something. Jacob Jacob wrestled with God. He's been a wrestler all his life. He wrestled with his brother. He wrestled with his father. Got the blessing. He ran away. He wrestled with his uncle. Got the first wife, the first daughter. He wrestled with him again. He got the second daughter. He wrestled with him again for another 6 years. And he got a share of the blessing, and he got more. So for 20 years, he wrestled with people. Now he is trying to wrestle with his brother again because he is afraid that his brother might kill him. And he has already had this strategy in his mind. So he started planning how he would find a way to make peace with with Esau. So he made his plans already, and he had all these over 500 different kinds of animals that he has selected to give to his brother Esau. 500 is a lot. But he still had trouble in his mind. Will he accept this gift? And he sent everyone, and now he's left alone. He crosses the Jabbok River, and now he's alone with himself, thinking, what will happen? Brothers and sisters, sometimes we wrestle alone and you don't sleep at night because your financial burden is so big. Maybe because you cannot complete your assignments on time and you have to ask for extension. And things get harder. I failed a class. It wasn't easy for me. In master's and in PhD, we wrestle with a lot of things. But while we are wrestling, something happens when you go to God. When you ask God to come again and do something again for us, be prepared that when he comes and he starts wrestling with you, sometimes the strategies that we've made changes. When they change, when you submit your proposal to God, God comes and says, no, this is not right, you do it another way. And you said, no, okay, I did it this way. Okay, you submit again and God said, no, you come another way. And God says, no, you change it. And he started shifting you around, moving you around, and you realize, oh, I cannot go anymore. I'm tired. God, why are you not answering me? And you go into the classroom and you think that you understand theology. You go into the classroom and the professor comes and says, no, this is how you do it. This is how Christology should be. This is how you should view the Old Testament. This is how we should view missions. This is how you should do all these things. And you are wrestling. You bring your old idea outside, your worldview. You come in and then God starts wrestling with you. And when God starts putting his finger on the strength that you think that you are strong and he starts breaking you down, you realize, or I realize, that we have nothing but to depend on God. What if God pulls the financial support away? What if God pulls the strength, the emotional strength that we've depended on away, and we realize that I am a seminary student, my plans are crumbling, I don't have anywhere to go, I don't know what to do, I need to depend on God. God, you are my answer. If you don't answer me, I am in trouble. I do have strategies. I do have plans. But when I come face to face with God, something different happens. Brothers and sisters, if you had faced God and you are wrestling, and if God hasn't put his finger on you and touched you, maybe he may not have touched your ignorance. Or he may not have touched the worldview that you've heard about ministry or the ideas that we've had. And he has not changed it. You have not realized that you and I are not the answer to the world's problems. We have not realized. Sometimes when we get equipped, we think that we have the answers to the world because we now have theories lined up that we can go out. And God says, yes, you may have these strategies. But first, I need to break you down. Theology is also dangerous. Before it builds a person up, it has to break him down. Because if it doesn't break a person down, we have a problem. Because when theology is placed in the hands of an arrogant person, that person can destroy religion. That person can destroy a church. That person can destroy a community of believers. Because we think we come from the seminary. We have the degree. We have the authority from the seminary. We can do anything we want. But it comes out of stubbornness, of ignorance. First thing this semester, let's make it a challenge that allow God to break us down when we wrestle with God. And when God breaks us down, He builds us up and He gives us a new name. Most of us have come here and our people at home know who we are. They know we've done ministry. They know the kind of people we are. They know the attitude that we have. But when we get out of the seminary, we have to go out with a different name. It must be different, or there is no change and we wasted our time in the seminary. We've wrestled with God, but we have not changed. We've become so stubborn. Jacob was a deceiver all his life. He has been deceiving. But God put his finger on him and he changed him and he said, your name will be Israel. Because you have struggled with God and you've struggled with men and you have overcome. Now there are many ways to see that. Maybe we can see it from the life of the Israelites, the history where they have been struggling with God. They've been so stubborn. They have not changed. Maybe we can see it from another angle where these people struggle with God. Many times they ask him, but he did not answer them quickly. But they had hope. They had faith in him in times of trouble. They continued to cling on to him until he came to their rescue. Maybe we can see the Israelites as a group where God gave his mission to them and they had to struggle with him in order to carry out that mission. It's not easy. It's not easy. But the important thing is if we have a changed identity, it makes a lot of difference. What are people saying about you now? Here. What is the message that you are getting from your hearts that people are saying about you? Have you changed? Have I changed? The seminary is often called a cemetery. But if God comes in the seminary and touches us, you will remember this place as Penuel, where you've wrestled with God. And God has put his finger on you and it has touched you and changed you and molded you and made you see the world different, see the ministry different. You came into the seminary thinking that it was a cemetery. But when you go out, only if God touches you and I, we will be able to see this place as a Peniel, where God has changed us. And it is very hard to identify the finger of God sometimes in the situations that we go through. We want to really clearly identify, is this God that you are dealing with me in these troubling situations that I'm going through at the moment? Sometimes the face of God doesn't appear clearly. So we cannot identify clearly who God is and what he's doing, and we keep on asking, God, are you there like Elijah? Are you in the fire? Are you in that wind? Or are you in that small, still voice? Sometimes God is a mystery, and we cannot give him a name. The names in the Old Testament are descriptive terms about him. The moment we think we have a grasp of God, we make him become an object. He is no longer God. God must remain a mystery that it makes us desire to know him more and more. Maybe you think the troubles that you are facing, God is not in that. Maybe that during the semester we'll be going through some challenges and we might think, is this from God or is it from the devil? Or is it from the finance office or from the professor? Or is it from the program director? Or is it from the librarian? You might be wondering. Maybe in all this, God is walking through that and we don't see. Sometimes he walks behind the shadows and we don't see those things. I want to end here with one good news. A day is dawning. The challenges we go through, the things that we are wrestling with God now, is meant to change us. It's meant to humble us. If you have not been broken, ask God this semester to break you down. He comes. He comes in the classroom. He comes in the chapel services. He comes in our discussions. He comes in the library. He visits us every time. Sometimes he visits you at night. And he visits us because there is a new day coming and you are a child of promise that God has bestowed his favor on you and on us, on me. There is a new day coming. There is a new chapter in life. We will not be staying in the seminary for the whole of our life here. We are here just passing through. And we have to get as much as we can. We have to be broken down as much as we can. And he builds us up and be prepared to go out to face another day, to face Esau, to face our brothers. Maybe we've had some problems with them. Maybe we've had some challenges in the ministry. But God is going to bring us there back. And he's going to test our patience. He's going to test our character. It's going to test the education and the thing that you have developed over the last few years in the seminary. And it will find you out what kind of a person you and I are in the world when we face Esau. Jacob is going to face another day. A day is dawning. And he will be limping. Brothers and sisters, we will go out. Not with a lot of money. We will be struggling financially. We will feel like we are not fully equipped. We will be limping. That will help us to remain humble. To know that God is the one who brought us. It is God who promised us. And it is God who brought us here. He will bring us there. And if you go through challenges this semester, remember this one thing. God, break me down and teach me how to depend on you. And you restore me up. Don't ask him just to build you up, because you never know. There may be some ignorant attitude, some stubbornness in us. There may be some things that he needs to fix first before he can fill us up. The good news is God has called us. Has called us. But go with a changed attitude. Thank you. I'd like to ask the musicians to come and lead us with a response song.
Let's hold steadfast to the promise that we're holding right now. So as a response, may I request everybody to please stand up. And let's sing this song. That whatever you're wrestling now, God will surely make his way.
In ways we cannot see.